Welcome to our service of Holy Communion on this Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all the fathers of the world. But I also like to think that it's a time for us to focus on the kindness of our Father in heaven to us individually. Please would you stand? No, don't stand. Please, there's notices to give out. I always forget that bit. But here we go. We're continuing with our series on the fruit of the Spirit, and we come today to kindness. More information about the START course, which is beginning on the 22nd of June for people who want to explore the Christian faith. There's a picnic happening after church down on something called the football pitch. I hope you know where that is, because I've never found a football pitch down on the common down there. So if you know where it is, join us for a picnic there. And the men's breakfast. We've got a prestigious former chief executive officer of London Underground. I bet he's going to be interesting. So that's on the 2nd of July. And you can catch all those notices by logging on to the parish website. So let's stand. Sorry. Oh, one more notice. Sorry, Peter. Thank you.
You're mentioning 2nd of July. 2nd of July is a very important date. 2nd of July is a concert here in All Saints. It's part of the Midsummer Malvern Civic Week. It's a combined event. You normally put something together with the organ, but actually the main thing is the Malvern Male Voice Choir, which is coming to sing, and I'm a member of it, so I'll get to sing to you if you come. It's on the 2nd of July. There's a slight variation on the timing. I don't know quite why they put 7 o'clock in the programme for the Civic Week, but it's a 7:30 start. Tickets are available from Sarah. Sarah's got some tickets to it, and because it's a male voice choir concert, then it's due to their ticketing prices. You can get the ticket on TicketSource. It's all explained in the programme if you have one, but if not, then just let me know. Main important thing, 2nd of July, concert here. All the male voice choir. Don't miss it.
Great. Thanks, Peter. Would you like to stand? We meet in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Together we pray, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first hymn celebrates that kindness of God the Father. Morning by morning, new mercies we see.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We come now to a time of confession, so let's be still and quiet for a moment as we reflect on our need of God's pardon. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy. Let us then confess our sins, trusting in his redeeming love. God our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us for behaving just as we wish without thinking of you. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us for failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us for letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us for living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Psalm 103 speaks of God's kindness to us. So we're going to say these words together. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And so in response to the Lord's great kindness to us, we stand and sing, I will offer up my life in spirit and truth. seated. And Margaret's going to come and bring us both our readings this morning from Luke and 1 Corinthians.
So our first reading is taken from Luke chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and water. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." And our second reading from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7. "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. So, radiating kindness. Here we go. Makes us sound rather like a radiator on a nice winter's evening, doesn't it? Radiating kindness. But I want to ask you, who can remember the last time someone was kind to them? I'm hoping you can remember, because I'm hoping people are kind to you. But I'm hoping you can remember that feeling you had when you were on the end, receiving end of some kindness. It doesn't have to be a big kindness. A small one will do. But either way, how did that act make you feel? That feeling is the feeling we want to pass on to others in the hope that it will spread just as quickly as a certain virus that we shall not name, but perhaps without the devastating effects. Now, my gran, she used a lot of phrases, and she probably used this one, kindness costs nothing. Now, it may not cost anything, but it can mean everything. If you compliment someone, you may hear the phrase, oh, you're so kind. If you stoop down and pick up something they've dropped, thank you, that's very kind. And over the last 2 years, if you've leapt off the pavement so that they can walk by with the regulation 2 metres, I'm hoping you received thanks and perhaps with that little aside of, that's so kind of you. There are hundreds of little things that we can do that are described as kindness. But what is it if we were seeking some form of definition? Indeed, what does the Bible say that kindness is? Well, I'm going to start with Wikipedia, the internet font of all knowledge, apparently. Kindness is a type of behaviour marked by acts of generosity, consideration, and concern for others, without, and this is the important bit, without expecting praise or reward. It's all about putting others first. Just to let you know, the internet also considers kindness as one of the great themes of the Bible. I think it should be one of the great themes of any religion. So, let's look at our readings. Kindness, as we see from 1 Corinthians, is an aspect of love, one of the facets of love, and that's because it's part of the character of God, who is love. Now, the Hebrew word is hesed, and that is often translated as kindness. Now, I say often because there are only 8,000 words in biblical Hebrew. And if you compare that to the 400,000 words of English, you'll understand why a biblical word, a biblical Hebrew word, paints a picture. It's more of a, it can mean many things depending on what you've got stuck in there. But it is translated as kindness. It can also mean love between people or devotional piety to God and the love of God to human, to humanity. It is used, that is hesed. Hesed is used 246 times in the Psalms. So it would appear that the internet does have some truth. Kindness is an important biblical theme. But the important aspect of kindness that may not be made so much of in our society is the sacrificial nature of the love that manifests itself as kindness. When someone acts in a kind way, they do so without reward or praise. It is selfless. Because of that, an act of kindness can bring hope in a dark time. Ultimately, it's about being free from the negative energy of hostility or anger. It is a sign, therefore, that you are being transformed into the likeness of Christ, that we are all becoming more of a blessing to people whom we meet. Every time we show kindness to someone, even if that's only a little act of kindness, then that kindness becomes infectious, rippling out, radiating out from us into the community, into people's lives. And that little action may then inspire others to take that step and show kindness themselves. And on it goes, rippling through the world. But let's be honest. There are many things that hinder our expressing kindness in the world around us. Perhaps the most common reason kindness is not shown is that we actually miss the opportunity because life is lived at warp factor 9 and it's such a fast pace that life is these days. The sheer amount of things, if you think about it, that has to be fitted into an average day. It's not surprising we miss the opportunity that pops up. So perhaps then, slowing down can help. Then, of course, you've got the lack of courage, taking that step outside of your comfort zone to bring hope into another's comfort zone. That can take courage. And then, of course, we have the old nugget of unforgiveness. If someone has brought pain or problems into your life, then kindness is probably far from your radar when dealing with them. Let's be honest. Who'd want to put themselves into a vulnerable position with someone whose past actions have hurt so much? There are no easy answers to that conundrum. But easy answers never have much impact on our transformation, do they? It's almost as if we have to struggle and wrestle with stuff in order to grow into the likeness of Christ. Prayer will be an important part of our wrestling, drawing close to God to allow us to trust in his big picture, to trust God, and to move out of our small self-interest into the interests of those around us, and that includes those we struggle with. So today's big reading from the Gospel was the parable of the Good Samaritan, which illustrates kindness. The hero, a Samaritan, was a member of a widely reviled tribe who worshipped God, but not in Jerusalem, and that caused quite a bit of affront to the Jews, who regarded that as wrong, and that's putting it mildly. And hence to have the hero of the story doing the right thing as a Samaritan, well, that would have perked up all ears. He would have been the least likely hero ever. He would not have been expected to do the neighbourly thing and show kindness to the poor, roughed-up traveller on the roadside. But kindness is what he showed, and at great personal risk and little thought for himself. So he was travelling from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was a well-known road for robbers, the Dick Turpins of their day. And when he saw that man, he didn't know if they were still loitering behind a rock waiting to have a go at him too, because that's what they did. It could have even been somebody lying down pretending to be ill and roughed up. But no, the man's heart was moved with compassion for this man lying there. So in stopping to aid that man, he was putting himself at great risk. Then, taking the man into town, taking him into Jericho, would have put him at even greater risk. The reason a lot of priests travelled from Jerusalem to Jericho was because Jericho was a town that many priests lived in, and hence would have been a very Jewish place. Wouldn't have been a safe place for a Samaritan to pass through, let alone stop at the inn. But to ensure the victim's safety, he pays up front and promises more if need be, and that would be paid on his return journey. You see, innkeepers, you have to understand, were not the avuncular proprietors that you might imagine from watching Morse or such like, wherever there's a pub. No, they were notorious people. They were notorious for selling those that could not pay into slavery. So the Samaritan risked his life by stopping to tend the man, and then risked community vengeance by stopping in Jericho to find lodging for him. This was indeed kindness. It was a selfless act of love with no prospect of acknowledgement or reward. And you can tell how much they were reviled, because the man who was testing Jesus did not even say the Samaritan. He just said the one who showed mercy. And for those of us who like a nice end to the story, we don't even know what happened to the man that Jesus was telling the story about. Does Jesus make him get out safe and sound? We don't know. So Jesus was telling the crowd that the kingdom of God is manifested by showing loving kindness, whether or not it's accepted or appreciated. Divine love is enough. It's its own reward. And when shown and shared, it's irresistible. It just keeps flowing until it finds someone who's going to receive it. The kingdom of God wants to enter our lives just as they are. God isn't waiting for perfection. He has plans to love, and he's going to demolish barriers of all kinds so that his love can flow. And it's worth remembering that God can enter our lives in the fullest possible manner through those who get under our skin the most, those we trust least, but to whom we are called to show loving kindness no matter what. But here Jesus was also criticizing the dominant group. Your neighbour isn't just those people who fit into your nice, ordered religion. They're not necessarily in the in-group with whom we hang out. The people who show mercy and live compassionate lives don't let artificial boundaries get in their way. And they care for others beyond the call of duty. These are the people who are in the kingdom of God. These are the people who reveal God's hesed to others by their actions. They are the ones who live out their relationship with God on their front line, sacrificially, every day. And if you think about it, that's what Jesus did. The many, many stories of his kindness to all sorts of people, mostly at inconvenient times, all packaged up for us to read and learn from in the Gospels. Whether it was the leper he healed, the compassion he shows to the sick, the sinners he chose to dine with, forgiving those who crucified him, and ultimately remembering his mum as he hung dying, arranging things for her future. All these instances show the loving kindness of God. All show hesed in action. All show a lack of worry about his status within the community. And all these actions reveal God. And this loving kindness isn't just mentioned in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament too. Hosea tells us that showing kindness to others is more important than ritual sacrifice. All those things that the Jews thought were important, and that they were being told that the important thing was kindness, showing hesed to others, channeling God's love into and through the world. Worship, however wonderful within the temple, was not as important as showing kindness outside the temple, of being the people God wanted them to be, the message of good news and hope to the people around them. Because then, only then, would people turn back to God, not by the stick, but by the carrot. Here is a God who loves you, is kind to you. Come to him. All God's people were to be a message of hope and kindness in a world that was so often devoid of both. They were there to woo people back to God, and we have the same mission. We are here to woo. Ultimately, this is the hoped-for result. More love in the world, more kindness, more tolerance and awareness of those around us, exhibiting God's character to others, can woo them back. But it might just take a while. So can we help the growth of love in this world? Can we learn to trust God, the bigger story, His story? Can we place kindness above our fears and act in extravagant love? Or will we choose to pass by, gripped by our fears and prejudice? Do we choose to trust God, or are we going to just keep our little knees safe? These are the questions that we need to be asking ourselves daily, because each circumstance that we bump up against will be different, and we will all react differently to those different circumstances and different people. As I was looking on the internet about kindness, the next thing down I found was from Bear Grylls. Now, for you that don't watch a lot of reality TV, he's obviously the chief scout at the moment. And he has written this: everyone we meet is fighting a battle of some sort. It's good to remember this when we meet someone who is being particularly difficult or obstructive. Somewhere in their life, they are having a tough time. Holding on to that should shape our response, our tolerance, and our understanding of others. Indeed, it may help us answer that powerful question, what would Jesus do? And when we've mentally answered that question, we can act, because kindness gives hope to those who think they're alone in the world. Look around you as you go through your day. Ask, who needs a glimmer of hope? Who needs us to be kind because no one else is noticing the pain in that person's eyes, the slump of the shoulders, the hurt, the battle that they're fighting? You might remember at the beginning I asked you to think of a time when you received kindness and how it made you feel. I'm hoping you can remember how it made you feel. Because when you are considering kindness as your next move, ask God to replicate those feelings in the other person through you. At all times, be guided by Him. It might be as simple as a few words of help, heartfelt appreciation, a smile or some other encouragement. Jesus might just want you to listen to others as they journey through tough times. Is He asking us to walk but not talk? The Holy Spirit can nudge you to a random act of kindness, and that can be really powerful. But at all times, keep your antennae rotating. Seek out where God needs you to be next. And remember, you are not alone. He stands with you. His power, His Spirit empowers you. His love is flowing through you. And when we press back into Him, He'll strengthen us and give us courage to do the risky business of kindness with a humble heart, a heart wide open to both God and man. And if you remember nothing else, remember this simple phrase: kindness is doing what you can, where you are, with what you have. No more, and no less. Amen.
We're going to turn to prayer now, and June's going to lead us in our prayers for the world, a prayer for kindness. Thank you, June.
Let's take a few moments just to, in silence, as we come before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just come before you today and we just thank you for bringing us here today together to worship you. Lord, we thank you for your word, for your kindness, for your love that you pour upon us. And Father, we pray that you will help us to be Christ-like. Help us to show others love. And at times, Lord, it's easier to be loving to the people we meet in the street and not to be so loving to our family and friends. Father, help us to be constant in our love for others, whether they're out on the street or in our homes. Father, forgive us the times when we are cruel or unkind in our words and our actions. We thank you for your many blessings that you pour on each one of us here today, the kindness and care that you surround us. Father, we pray that you will help our hearts beat in time with your heart, just that others will come to meet you face to face when they meet with us, that we are your ambassadors, Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the people that are here today and for those people at home who are having to watch us online. Lord, we thank you that you've called us all together and to this special place, this special church. And Lord, we are so grateful that we are all here and able to worship you. We ask, Lord, that you will be with the many groups, our home groups that meet here, Lord, that we're studying your word, and that we thank you for that fellowship and time together. Lord, we thank you for the bereavement cafe that is running next door, in the pub next door, and that the people can come and just talk about their many losses and their fears and their anxieties. Lord, and we thank you for messy church that runs here. Lord, we just pray for the children to come in from the schools around this area, that they would come and learn more of you in this loving and caring environment. And for the toddler group, Lord, we just pray for the mums and their children when they come in, that they will have a sense of you in this place. And we pray, Lord, for Megan's kitchen that is going to happen. And Lord, we just pray that when that is here, that the doors can be opened and people could just come in and just enjoy the peace and quiet of this building and the conversations of the Christians within it, Lord, that they can come and just spend time here in this place, learning more and finding out more about you and becoming to know you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we lift all those that are struggling with mental health and physical health issues at the moment. Surround them with your love, Lord. Hold them close to your heart so that they can hear your heart beating in time with theirs. Father, we pray for those who are unable to be here with us today. Just spend a few moments bringing those people to walk into your name, Lord, in quiet. Bring comfort and peace to those in need. We particularly hold Trish and Ken into your arms. We pray for the work of the food bank, which does such an amazing job day in, day out. Lord, we thank you and praise you for that work and for the generosity of many people and many businesses just donating food to those that haven't got enough money to buy it. And we also pray for CAP, Lord, and the work that they are doing there with their clients, Lord. We thank you for these two things that are running from our churches that are so amazing. And we just thank you for them. We thank you for the love and the joy and the peace that brings to so many families in our community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for the NHS, Lord, as it struggles to keep up now with timings and operations that have been delayed and held back because of the pandemic. Lord, we thank you for their tireless working and the ways that they can structure their work to get things done quicker as we're moving away. But Lord, we are very mindful too that there is still a lot of COVID in some areas and that those numbers are rising. Lord, we do pray that you'll just put your hand on all of the people that have it and the NHS just to pour your blessing, Lord, just to still this disease that can be so destructive. Lord, we trust you and we walk with you, our God and our healer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, we continue praying for the people in Ukraine. Lord, we just lift them up to you as it just seems relentless and endless. But Lord, we know that you are working. We thank you for those people that have been able to leave Ukraine and are living in other countries, Lord. Give them peace of mind and heart. But also we pray for those relationships that they will work better. And Lord, we pray for those who are really struggling with uncomfortable situations where they are. We thank you for the many homes that have opened up for others, and we pray, Lord, for them all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
We're going to stand and share the peace together now. Please stand, because we are the body of Christ, and by the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes the peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let's turn to one another and just make a sign of peace. Peace to you. Just before we sing our our communion hymn, can I remind you of the prayer corner at the back there, straight after communion? If you feel you would like someone to pray for a concern of yours, just go to the corner at the back. There'll be two people there. Shirley and June will be there. They'll come up to communion first, and make use of that time for prayer. We're going to sing "Here Is Love, Vast as the Ocean," and we're going to sing it right through twice. To kneel for our communion prayer. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ our risen Lord with your whole church throughout the world. We offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We do not presume to come to this, your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. We're going to say together the thank you prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Our closing hymn speaks to our hearts of the kindness of God our Shepherd. Father, we offer you these our gifts as a token of our love to you. In the name of Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Please be seated. Jackie was talking to us about a Hebrew word, a beautiful Hebrew word, hesed. And in Psalm 23, the line is, goodness and hesed all my life shall surely follow me. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.